What's so good about Good Friday? I was asked that question by a friend of my grandmother's when I was visiting her. This lady was in her 80s, and she spoke a little English, but mostly Gujarati. I struggled to find an explanation in English, but in Gujarati, which is my family's language, it was almost impossible. What's so good about Good Friday? Apart from having a day off work and watching Steve McQueen in The Great Escape for the 98th time, what's so good about Good Friday? From the passage we read, we've seen that Jesus has been executed on the cross. And on the face of it, Christ's death seems to be a terrible tragedy. His disciples have dispersed, disillusioned. The chief priests who sought to kill him seem to have succeeded. There he is, executed on a cross with two thieves, like a common criminal. Many Christians have seen Good Friday as a time for mourning, and Easter Sunday, when Jesus rose from the dead, as the day of victory. But on the cross, was Christ's death merely a martyr's death? Was it a life tragically cut short? After all, he was only in his 30s. We may think of other Christians who have held great public sway, a David Watson dying in his 50s when he had so much more to offer, a Keith Green, a brilliant musician and singer. We could do with a few more albums from him, but he was killed in a plane crash in his late 20s with his two children. How tragic. Is Jesus' death in the same category? Well, not according to the apostles. Here in this passage that we're studying briefly today, Matthew sees victory on the cross. At the weakest point on Christ's ministry on earth, Jesus accomplishes his greatest victory. Come with me then and take a fresh look at the cross. In verse 50, page 999, if you haven't got your Bibles open. And when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the body of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tomb, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. For Matthew, Christ's death was a great victory. And we read in these verses an explanation of that death. I read recently that some 60 billion people have populated planet Earth. Don't know how it was calculated, but that's the estimate. And out of these 60 billion, not one lived or died like Jesus of Nazareth. His death especially is unique in all human history. Why? Well, Matthew tells us three reasons. One, he gained access to God. Two, he gained victory over death. And three, he gained salvation for the world. First of all, he gained access to God. How did he do it? Well, Matthew tells us by putting two sentences together. When he cried up and gave up his spirit, verse 51, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. No one would have connected these two events, the cry with the curtain. Jesus was crucified outside the city wall. The temple was in Jerusalem. But Matthew gives us God's explanation. What was this temple curtain? What's so significant about it? It was 60 feet high. It split the holy place within the temple into two parts, one large and one small. The smaller part was the Holy of Holies, a bit like some churches you see today with screens dividing off the front of the church where only esteemed clergy seemed to enter. Behind the curtain was the Ark of the Covenant and the Table of the Law. These simple pieces of furniture reminded the Jews of the Old Testament giving of the law, the Ten Commandments. The simple furniture symbolized the holiness of God and the bankruptcy of the people who'd, like us, broken every one of those commandments, at least in their hearts. So when the Jews entered the temple, they were conscious of barriers. No-go signs. You go into a courtyard, and Gentiles and Jews could enter the outer courtyard, and then there was a barrier. Stop. Only Jews beyond this point. And then there was a further barrier. Only Jewish men beyond this point. And then there was a further barrier. Only priests beyond this point. And then you came to the temple, the biggest barrier. Only the high priests could enter once a year by sprinkling the blood of a lamb behind the curtain. So how could the sinning Jew gain access into God's holy presence? How can we? I'm sure that you are only too aware that when you deliberately sin, you don't want to go into God's presence. The Bible says that we are good at doing evil. In fact, our evil deeds are what keeps us from God. I run a number of courses for inquirers. They have all sorts of questions about the truthfulness of the Bible, how it seems to have been cooked up, all sorts of questions about Jesus, intellectual problems. But at the end of the day, the big issue is personal morality. Their deeds, my deeds are evil. And God makes us embarrassed. And we don't want to know God when we know we've sinned. And when you see God's commands, his perfect standard, you see and I see how unfit we are. There is a great barrier between God and sinful rebels like you and me. The temple curtain symbolized how difficult it was to go into God's presence. But when Jesus cries out in verse 50, the curtain comes tumbling down, ripped from top to bottom by the finger of God. The Jews standing around Jesus completely misunderstand the cross as they do today. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," they thought he said, "I am finished. I've come to the end of my tether." When he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Didn't it confirm what the religious leaders had said all along? Here was a charlatan, a counterfeit Messiah. But Matthew teaches us that on the cross, Jesus is doing what he came in the world to do. God could not look upon his Son on the cross because Jesus took upon himself the sin of the world and bore its consequences. The Bible tells us that the consequence of sin is separation from God and death. Whether you're Christian or not Christian, you all know that experience, that sin separates us from God. And all of us will know death at some point, a symbol of the big spiritual death that is evident in every life outside of Christ. So when Jesus gives up his spirit with the words, "It is finished," he's not saying, "I'm finished." He is saying, "Mission accomplished. I've done what I came to do. to die for sinners. And as a tiny confirmation of this, the temple curtain is ripped apart. The barrier between God and man is broken down. By tearing the curtain, the temple curtain, God was saying, "Welcome to all sinners." He beckons sinners into his presence. That is why the Christian gospel is good news. That God, through Jesus Christ, is accessible. For a further explanation of this, we can turn to Hebrews and read a couple of verses from chapter 9, page 1207. 1207, Hebrews chapter 9. We won't get caught up in too much of the detail. Let's read verses 11 and 12. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not a part of this creation. In other words, he went through a temple that was not made by human beings. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves like the high priests, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Jesus has broken into the temple, the sanctuary which is in heaven, where God is. So the temple here in Jerusalem is only a picture of the temple in heaven. Now all men, not just Jews, can come into God's presence. Why? Because Jesus has burst open the barrier. We can break into God's heavenly presence because of Jesus' death on the cross. And as a sign of that, we see the centurion, a Gentile, someone despised by the Jews, coming to faith. The good news is that God has taken the barrier down. His barrier. It's not that we've put up a barrier. God has put up the barrier. And he's taken it down by accepting Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Once and for all. No more sacrifices needed. No more temples are needed. You don't need to come to a sacred building to meet God. The good news is that God will accept you and me as we are. And that's amazing if we really know ourselves. If we take a moment to think. It's not easy to think here in the West End because we're locked in by bosses who demand a great deal of work out of us. And we can't really think about the important things, the things that matter. That before God, we're bankrupt, we're failures, we're wicked men and women. And yet in spite of that, he can accept us because of Jesus dying on the cross. The good news is that God will accept the unacceptable. So, Jesus has gained access to God. And as a confirmation of this, we have verses 52 and 53, which show us that Jesus has gained victory over death. When he dies, the tombs break open and people come to life. Matthew alone records these remarkable events. He is assured that access into God's presence is not only post-crucifixion. What about all those people in the Old Testament who lived before Jesus? What's in store for them? Matthew says that because of what Jesus has done, there is life after death for them. In just a sentence or two, he says these holy people break out of death into life. We would like a bigger explanation, wouldn't we? We're only given a couple of sentences. And the important thing in the Bible, when we come to things that we don't understand, is to see what explanation the Bible gives and leave it at that. There are some things that God reveals and some things that he intends to keep secret. The important thing is that Jesus' death brings life to God's people. Death is not the end. So in case you're worried about death, and you've had a moment or two this lunchtime to think about it, well, thank God for Jesus. Thank him that he has died so that you and I might live. Then thirdly, Jesus has gained salvation for the world. Verse 54. When the centurion and those who were with him, who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." The darkness and the earthquake, Jesus' cries on the cross, had convinced this hard-bitten soldier that this was no ordinary execution. Surely this is the Son of God. We don't know the level of his understanding. We don't even know the depth of his faith. Perhaps it was just the size of a mustard seed. But this declaration contrasted with the Jewish religious leaders. Look at what they said. Turn back a page, page 999 again, verses 41 to 43. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" How interesting it is that with the very words with which the Jews mock Jesus, the centurion confesses faith in Christ. See, the Jews had their opportunity. They had seen Jesus' public ministry. The Jewish establishment had checked him out again and again. They couldn't find fault with him, but they managed to put him to death. Here, a Roman soldier, a Gentile, someone the Jews thought was out of the orbit of God's grace, finds faith in Christ. How wonderful God's gospel is. How wonderful the good news is. What a great victory Christ has won. You may have come here having a particular view of the cross. It's actually a time of defeat. Why have Good Friday? Well, I hope you've seen with me that it's a time for great joy. If you're not a Christian today, here is your opportunity to see Christ as he really is. One who has credibility before God. One who has broken access into God's presence. If you want to come to God, you have to come to Christ. There is no other way. If you want life after death, if you want confidence as at the end of your life you approach death, then you have to come to Christ. If you want to know God's agenda for the world, come to the cross and see that he wants all men to be saved, even his executioners. Couldn't it be you? Why not use Easter as your opportunity to look back, to read the gospel accounts, read the source materials for yourself? Why not read this account in Matthew in a Bible that you have and examine for yourself how much God has accomplished on the cross? So in summary, Good Friday is good because the cross is a place of victory. Easter Sunday is mere confirmation of that victory. Death was defeated at the cross, and Christ wins his greatest victory. Let's pray. Bold I approach the eternal throne to claim the crown through Christ my own. Father, we thank you that we can approach you with boldness because of what Jesus has done. All that we bring is our own sin, and yet we wonder that you can accept us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he died for each one of us. Help us to respond as the centurion did and recognize him to be your only son who died so that we might live. In his name we pray.